You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You're learning a lot about my social life right now, considering it's Saturday night and I'm recording a Locked On Wolverines podcast. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. I'm your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. And as promised, we have mailbag part deux right here, right now. Let's get right to it, starting with our leaders and best, James Crudup at James Crudup 6. Do you think all the changes on the coaching staff will buy Harbaugh more time if they have a rough upcoming season? I do, and that's something I mentioned on the M Zone. It's funny because I feel like some of these things were mentioned on the M Zone when I look through some of the questions. But I do think it will help, right? But I mean, not disastrous season, not 2-10, you know. But I think 6-6, 7-5, something of that nature, as bad as that might be, I do think having the changes in the coaching staff will. I think you're kind of getting, like, remember back when Jim Harbaugh took over and there was this, he would be lucky if he can make a bowl game type talk. And that's not what happened, of course. 10-3. The weird noise was me lighting a candle, by the way. Wonderful from Park Sense. This is not a sponsor or anything, but Passage Flight. It smells like the Flight of Passage ride at Animal Kingdom. Takes me back. Makes me sad because it's already been 2 weeks. Anyway, I digress. I do think that it would give. I think that they're kind of more in that situation now than they were then, because they had a lot of really promising juniors on that team. They just needed a quarterback, and they got it in Rudock. So I don't know yet, you know, like I sat there forever saying Joe Milton was the guy. I still think he is the most talented quarterback as far as arm capabilities. I think he has an arm that you can't teach. But you also have JJ. Is JJ ready? I don't know. You have Cade, who looked very promising late last year, but obviously let's see where things fall when you get spring ball, all that kind of stuff. But nonetheless, they're not in the same situation exactly. I think they have more talent at the quarterback position than they had then. But I don't think they're as talented across the board in the sense of, like, I look at Aiden and say, all right, he's really, really good. I look at Taylor and say, he's pretty good. We don't know yet if he's, you know, Quiddy Pay type good. We look at the defensive tackles and say Chris Hinton's a stud but needs to take a step forward. Donovan Jeter has a lot of promise, needs to take a step forward. There are a lot of pieces there that I don't have the level of confidence I had going into 2015 comparatively. So with that in mind, I could see them having a mediocre season. And I do think that the coaching staff, long story short, the coaching staff does buy it some time. Josh Barr at Jadicky. If the basketball team can't make up all its games, what's the fairest way to determine a conference champion? That's a rough one, man. I don't know. As other teams have missed games, of course, right? But Michigan looks like it might miss a lot more. Might only be like four, right? They've missed four games, and they're about to miss a fifth, if my math is right, which it might not be. And they've already, one of those games is already missed in Penn State. So essentially, they're missing five games. But I think that you go kind of win percentage in that kind of case, maybe. I don't know. I think it all depends on what Michigan does down the stretch. I think it's one of the same things as like Ohio State. If Michigan gets back, their next game looks like it would be at Wisconsin on Valentine's Day. I mean, that's a rough one to come back for. But if they, let's say they go out there and they just destroy Wisconsin again and they just keep rolling. If they beat Ohio State and Iowa, I think, period. I think that you have to consider the idea that they should potentially win the Big Ten, assuming they don't get any of their other games. Win percentage would just be it within conference. That's the only thing I can think of that would make any kind of sense. My brother Metal Michael Wolf at MWolf21. Do you see or believe that there will be significant cultural changes coming to the football program? Examples being the new young coaching staff and Harbaugh's 2021 goal of not being afraid of being fired. I haven't seen anything yet just because we haven't been around anything that they're doing. So I don't know. I do believe that there will be, just kind of based off of the fact that there were significant personnel changes and a significant scheme change. It's a complete departure in a lot of ways from what they were doing before. I mean, this is very much the Brian Kelly model of what happened at Notre Dame. I don't know if Harbaugh did that consciously or not, but I feel like that is the situation that they're in. So I do think that there will be big changes coming from there, but we'll see if that actually amounts. I guess I don't know how to quantify it yet. I would imagine there will be big changes because it kind of feels different. Everything feels different. This feels like Michigan got a new head coach in a lot of ways if you weren't just pining for him to be gone. If you were still in kind of wait-and-see mode or whatever, this feels like a whole new coaching staff, even though there's still a handful of returning coaches. Writer for Wolverines Wire, Trent Noop at Trent Noop. You know who my five freshmen that I think will see major playing time are. Who are yours? Mine are very similar to yours, and I'd have to pull Trent's up, but I know his were Donovan Edwards, J.J. McCarthy, Rashawn Benny, Junior Colson, and I'm missing someone in there. Anyway, I'll give you mine. Mine are very similar in the sense that Donovan Edwards, to me, is 100% going to be seeing major early playing time. I think your other one was Xavier Worthy. Xavier Worthy I would also put on that list. Junior Colson I'll also put on that list too. Otherwise, I'll digress a little bit. I'm going to add Andrell Anthony to that. As much as Michigan's got a ton of wide receivers, just based off of Harbaugh, what he had said about him in the immediate aftermath of signing day, early signing day, he just went on and 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 on how much he loves Andrell Anthony. So that would be my fourth, I guess. Yeah. And let me think, who else would it be? I'm not going to go with Benny because I think that they have some bodies there and I think you want to bulk him up a little bit before you throw him into the fire. I don't think it would be someone on the defensive side at all. I feel like you'd have to go offense. There's so many offensive guys. I'm not going to go with JJ, even though I think that you could see him early. I think I'm going to go with, and I'm really like kind of racking my brain here. It's, you know what? I'm going to go with one. I don't know which one. I'm going to go with either Raheem Anderson or Greg Crippen. Because even though you got Reese Atterbury, I think one of those two guys could step in and be an early guy as the center. Kind of like, maybe not even center. It might just be like a situation like Cesar Ruiz in his freshman year where he ended up coming in halfway through the year as the right guard. So, yeah. All right. Finishing us out in segment one, Jimmy Whitner at Jimmy Whitner 1. What would you say our biggest positions of need are for the 2022 class? I mean, there are, let me see here, the biggest needs, because I think that you're addressing, I'd really say corner, because you only took one this last year. So I'd say corner. You've clearly got defensive tackle kind of covered this past class. You've already got two committed in this class. Corner and linebacker. I know they've got in some linebackers, but I think you need some big-time linebackers. I would say that those would be the most important. Number two, who is your favorite signee in the 21 class? It's easily Donovan Edwards. I just think he's a complete game changer. Number three, biggest needs from the portal to plug current holes. Again, I go linebacker. I think you need linebackers something fierce because after they've gotten some good ones, Colson's obviously expected to be good. You look back, Anthony Solomon, some of those types of guys. But listen, they don't have like the Devin Bush type in waiting. Now, scheme's changing. So, you're looking for something a little bit different. But linebacker, certainly, like what I look at. Now, Hayward's off the table. Isn't Trayshawn Hayward from Western Michigan. But still look at Henry Tutu as being a guy that you hope to bring in. All right, that'll do it for segment one. Are we ready for some football? Super Bowl is tomorrow. A lot of you will probably be listening to this on Sunday, maybe even Monday. So maybe it's past. I don't know. Nonetheless, it is taking place between Tampa Bay and Kansas City. There's only one place that has you covered, one place that we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. I mean, I am so intrigued by this matchup. It's hard to bet against the GOAT, Tom Brady, who is my unrequited best friend. He's a senior at Michigan, my original freshman year. But at the same time, I mean, you look at the Chiefs, so much firepower. It seems like this is a game that you got to put something on. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus. With your first deposit, BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, let's get back into it. Plenty left there. Jim at Jim in the North. Do you think Harbaugh coaching QBs will get us more consistent play like Rudock or early Spate? He's got three more questions, but I'll answer this one now. I think it will help. I don't know necessarily. I mean, I feel like it will help. And I think it's, I don't know why he got away from it. Period. There's a couple different things we need. We need fiery Harbaugh back. And because I do think that that has a tangible effect on how the team plays during the game. And then we, on top of that, do need him to be overseeing the QBs. That's the position that he's overseen. That's, he was known as a quarterback whisperer. So, needs to get back to those things. What do you think the ceiling of this defense is next year? I'll say top 25. I won't go beyond that. I mean, they were like 88th or something like that last year. Yeah, I think it's hard to ask them to be stellar in Mike McDonald's first year. I think you've got some good pieces. I have a hard time seeing it get being like a top 10 defense suddenly. But weirder things have happened. Defense was terrible under Greg Robinson, under Rich Rodriguez. Greg Madison comes in and instantaneously was a top 25 team. That's the ceiling. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. Did Warner want to leave / slow down from full-time coaching or was he forced out? I'll let you draw your own conclusions there. But as of now, and this was news that broke after you asked this question, he is on his way to Florida Atlantic to coach under Willie Taggart as the run game coordinator. As head coach, how much does Harbaugh recruit anymore? Has he assembled this awesome staff and taken a step back? I'd say he's gotten more involved than he had been. Still not necessarily as involved as I think he was in the beginning of his head coaching tenure. But I think, you know, back then it was the sleepovers and stuff like that, climbing trees, which I like. I know that it gets made fun of. Sleepover, climbing tree, Nets, David Long. Sleepover, Nets, Quinn Nordine. Devin Asiasi wasn't like a sleepover, I don't think, but he did go there like and go to school with him. So, I know with the quarantine, he recruited a lot more than he had been. So, I still am not really hearing as much of that's my point guy. But he became certainly more involved in the Donovan Edwards recruitment as it went along. Everyone I've talked to, for the most part, they've said that they've had some contact with Harbaugh. So, whereas kind of before, it wasn't as much that they knew Harbaugh. They knew whoever their primary and secondary recruiters were. Jonathan Joseph at JJoseph2156. What do you think the ceiling is for the 2022 recruiting class? I mean, top 10 again. I think that that's the ceiling for any Michigan recruiting class. Is, I mean, I'll say fourth overall is probably the ceiling for any Michigan recruiting class. Because you know that the way they do things down south, I don't need to say much about that. And then some schools are just recruiting at a higher level than others. I don't think Ohio State is using some nefarious means. Maybe they are, but I don't think so. But I think that they're recruiting at an insane level, and they're probably always going to, you know, just kind of like you've seen in this Harbaugh era, most of the time Ohio State is going to have a higher ranked recruiting class. Not all the time, but most of the time. And right now their recruiting class is off to a torrid start in 2022. So I'd say fourth. I don't think that they'll necessarily get there this year, but I think that that is where they could end up potentially. And I think they certainly could assemble a top 10 class, depending, especially because I think this will be a bigger class than this last one. Brian Hall at 15BS Hall 97. Will Michigan fix its systematic issues such as roster management, clock management, and offense as a whole? Probably should throw in defense too with their bottoming out last year. I mean, I think that's, I hope so. You need to take a look in the mirror with everything. As far as roster management, you feel like with some new coaching that should help. Offense as a whole, again, you brought in Mike Hart. You shifted Sherrone Moore over. You put Jay Harbaugh back at maybe his more natural coaching position based off of what he was able to do with the tight end position. I think that there's a lot there. Defensively, I mean, again, we'll see. That side of the ball is basically all new. Yeah, there's two returning coaches, but that side of the ball is going to have a completely new scheme. So you hope, but we'll see. Helps having spring ball, fall camp, all that kind of stuff. Zach Van Lente as Lente Zach. Is co-coordinator the equivalent to the assistant to the regional manager, right-hand man, but without the ability to make crucial decisions? That being said, you think we'll ever see an assistant head coach with Harbaugh? I love that you use that because that's exactly what I said on the M Zone on Friday. That's the exact analogy I said because they were asking, like, you know, hey, they've got these co-coordinators, but they're not making as much money. I'm like, stop thinking of it as the sense of that they, you know, these two are sharing duties. Josh Gattis is the offensive coordinator. Mike McDonald is the defensive coordinator. And I said, yes, that's, think of them as being assistant to the regional manager. With the assistant head coach, there has been before. Biff Poggi, I believe, had that role before. It's certainly possible. I'm sure that role has somewhat been there, maybe kind of quietly, but Biff Poggi had that when he was here as an analyst, so to speak. Tyler at T_Force1. Should Michigan go back to a more run-heavy approach this year on offense? Haskins, Edwards would make a great combo, two-headed monster. However, it would further hurt development at wide receiver. I'll put it this way. I think you should start with the run now. Because last year they started with the pass and it just didn't work. And I think that's a way to eventually be. You want to be pass heavy in today's college football, but you have to have the quarterbacks to make that work. And I think they might have them, but I think you got to instill some confidence. Because to me, with what happened with Joe Milton particularly, is confidence based. So I think that if you establish the run first and work from that, it doesn't have to be 2018, right? It doesn't have to be we're going to run most of the time. I know they say they were balanced. They would say that. But it doesn't have to be this we're going to grind it out type game. I think you can, you know, you've got, let's not forget about Blake Corum too, who can also catch out of the backfield and all that kind of stuff. I mean, Edwards can do that as well. But I think that you've got a lot of options to try to run the ball. And I think it's a good idea to do it. and try to work in those dynamic plays in between. Stay on schedule. That's what they didn't do this last year, and that's what they need to do this year. And I think that probably being more run-heavy is a good way to do that. Zach Woodruff, at Zach Woodruff 3, over-under for wins following schedule release, knowing only what we know now roster-wise. With Relik Brown committing to Oklahoma, does that help with Gavin Sawchuk? I'll answer that second one. I know Sawchuk has a couple crystal balls to Oklahoma. I mean, certainly can't hurt. Michigan's in the thick of it with him. And now that they have Brown committed, certainly that could help. Brown's a five-star, I believe. So it's hard to see yourself as being that feature back when you got a five-star coming in ahead of you. As far as over-under wins, I'll set it at 7 or 6.5, I think, is the good way to go. And that's kind of based off of what the exercise we did yesterday. There seems like there's 6 surefire wins there. But outside of that, there's a lot that, you know, you have to show that you're better than Indiana now. You know, you have to show that you're you know, you can take on a Penn State that was reeling last year and yet still beat you. You have to take on a Wisconsin team that beat the snot out of you, but that got beat otherwise. So there's a lot there. All right, let's continue on. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money that you can then use for other important things like mortgage or food. Why would you choose to spend 30, 50, 100% more for the same exact auto parts at a chain store or new car dealership? Go to rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Rockauto.com has hundreds of manufacturers where you can get body parts from. They have everything from engine control modules to brake lamps, brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. If it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need for just a very few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck right in Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, we got 6 left. 6 left. 5 left. I can't count right now. Wolverine Nation at Z Slaughterhouse. Can recent recruiting momentum lead to a Will Johnson commitment and a new Tennessee pipeline in time for Walter Nolan? I think absolutely. I think that I'll have to talk to Will. We'll see if I can. Normally I talk to him when I go to events. We'll see if I can talk to him sometime in between and see what you know, this group's doing. I think the Ron Bellamy hire certainly plays a factor, right? And I think that he'll relate really well to because, like, again, if, like, we talked about identity and things of that nature yesterday, and I kind of tiptoed around it. But, like, if Arizona State is selling, hey, we have an all-black coaching staff, and Michigan now has a black cornerbacks coach, if nothing else, that's going to help. So plus the NFL experience, all of that stuff. Tennessee pipeline, I mean, it kind of feels like they're hitting Tennessee super hard. Tennessee is down. That certainly helps a little bit in the state. You're going to end up having a bunch of guys saying, you know, and you see it already, I think, with Miles Pollard, but you're already starting to see some of these guys kind of being like, hey, we want to play with each other. So that can always be a positive. Whether it will actually come to fruition, getting, you know, the top rated guy, the top rated defensive tackle in the nation, listen, they're in it. I believe Steve Lorenz put out something saying that they're in it for him. Fodder, I guess. So that's a good sign. We'll see if if that pays off. Marcio Brennis at M Brennis 11. And again, apologies that I cannot turn off the text signal on my computer. Even the program is closed and it still makes the noise. Anyway, who will be the QB for the 2022 class? I don't know. Nico Martial was the guy that they seemed like they were going most heavily after, and he didn't have Michigan in his top group. So it doesn't I'm not 100% sure. I mean, I've talked to a couple guys. I know that they're still going after Malik Murphy, who's the kid down in Atlanta. MJ Morris, who I talked to as well. Those are a couple of the guys. They're not making decisions anytime soon, I don't believe. I haven't talked to Malik. I haven't talked to Malik, I don't think, period. I've talked to MJ. I don't think he's going to make a decision until much further down the line. Those would be some of them that I would have my eye on. Also look at Taven Jackson from Center Grove outside of Indianapolis. A couple new offers went out recently. Names I couldn't tell you, but those are the ones I would look at. Not saying that I have any idea who the guy is actually going to be, but I mean, they tend to bring in a pretty good quarterback every year, so I mean, I'm sure that they'll find a four-star at the very least. You've got a little bit of leeway right now because you got JJ in the class, but you obviously still want to get one. That's the important thing. Andy Schlitz at Slanty Ray, what does your front seven look like if we play the 3-4 on defense? This is something, again, I have no idea because I have no idea how they're going to shift some of these things out. But if I was to, if you were to give me the leeway to say, all right, let's do it up. Do it up the way that you think it might end up being. I will go with this. Up front, the front three would be Aiden Hutchinson, Chris Hinton, and Donovan Jeter. Jeter being the nose. Behind them, I will go, and this is the hard part. I'll go with a Viper on one end, so Michael Barrett. Then we'll go with Josh Ross. Then we'll go with a Sam type guy, but he's kind of a quasi mix. I'll go Ben Van Sumeren. And then on the outside linebacker position, I'm going to move back Taylor Upshaw. That's probably it. But as far as, like, I don't know exactly how they're going to, what they're going to do with the Viper position, guys that they were bringing in for one very specific type of play. And then are they going to move some of them back to safety and keep some of them at linebacker? There's a lot of possibilities there. Do you move back a defensive end and have kind of two defensive tackle types up front? I think that that's probably likely. But I don't know. That's the closest I can get right now. The marathon continues at Mr. Underscore Business 23. Why don't they recruit in Texas harder? Well, they are now, because that's kind of why you went and got Maurice Linguist. So that's changing. It's changed. Matt Bradfield at MK underscore Bradfield. Do you think we will see a JJ McCarthy, Donovan Edwards backfield by the end of the 2021 season? As starters, I'm not going to project that. I will say that whoever, I'll say that I think that Joe and Cade will still finish ahead of JJ this year. Next year, all bets are off. But as far as Edwards, I think Edwards will end up being the second guy off the bench by then, at the very least. And I think he'll be in heavy rotation. But I think you've got a couple really talented guys ahead of him. I don't think he's going to necessarily surpass them right away in year one. I think he has that capability. I just don't think it's going to happen. Finishing us out in the mailbag Saturday night. Junior at Melvin Marshall Jr. How many cornerbacks and safeties are Michigan looking to take in the 2022 class? Well, they got two safeties already. I'd imagine you're looking at two or three corners as well, or safeties left. Obviously, I'd say one would be, you know, a flex, but I don't know. I don't have any hard numbers on that at all, but I could see them taking three corners, considering they only took one this past year. I could see them taking four corners, to be honest. But, I mean, that's a hard sell, right? Especially, let's say you get Will Johnson. You get to flip Damani Jackson. Maybe you get another. It's hard to be like, yeah, let's just bring in two more. So, anyway. All right, that'll do it for us today. Thank you very much for listening. We will be back on Monday, and that'll do it for us. So we'll talk to you soon. Peace.